It is good to be with you today. As Peg and I were driving up here this morning, we were reflecting on the fact that it was 30 years ago next week that I moved up here to begin ministry in this church and also the Boyne City Church. A long time for Peg and me to be in one area that long, and to be a part of this congregation for 6 years of those 30 years was a very special thing. The last time I was in this pulpit preaching was 24 years ago. I just hope that I don't look too aged. Haven't we all? Let us pray. Lord God, we look back over our lives and are so grateful for your faithfulness. We thank you for times of partnership and ministry. We thank you for the very special gift of hearing your word and thinking about it and making it a part of our lives. Help us, Lord, to do that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture for today is really quite a good scripture, especially as we are looking at the beginning of Lent, which is a time, a season in the church year and the lives of Christians in which we're looking inward, and we're taking a look inward in order to come before the Lord in humility and penitence and to strengthen our relationship with God, and also to make changes if necessary to gain the greater likeness of Jesus within us. The scripture today is from Luke chapter 19, beginning at verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." It is good to revisit a familiar theme in the Bible. Getting us started this morning, I offer a punny story you may have heard before and probably groaned over. One day, a steeplejack was hired to repaint the steeple of a church. Anybody hear this story before? Peg has. I think the last time I told this story was between the years 1994 and 2000 in this congregation. Anyway, so steeplejack hired to repaint the steeple of a church. It was a sunny day with not a cloud in the sky. He was standing in his sling, all of his equipment tied close at hand, and starting at the top, he began putting a fresh coat of white paint on the steeple. About halfway down, he realized he did not have enough paint to finish the job. Not wanting to go all the way down to his truck for more paint, he looked around to see if anyone was watching. Then poured a little turpentine into the paint to make it go farther. As he did so, he heard a roll of thunder off in the distance. He looked about. He saw no clouds, and so he went on with his work. About two-thirds of the way down, it was clear again he was running out of paint. He looked around for witness to see if there was anybody looking. There were none. He poured a little more turpentine into the paint. Again, thunder rolled across the sky. Seeing no immediate danger, he went on with his job. As he was reaching the bottom of the steeple, his paint ran low a third time. Being so close to finishing the job, he reached for the turpentine one more time, and he was about to pour the turpentine into the paint. A bolt of lightning whistled by his ear, and a huge clap of thunder accompanied that bolt of lightning. And then a voice came from heaven saying, "Repaint and thin no more." Isn't it such a clever substitution of the word thin for sin and the word repaint for the word repent? The story of Zacchaeus highlights a familiar and vital theme in the Bible, repentance. Luke sees the sinner Zacchaeus as a model of repentance. Zacchaeus did not simply repaint his life. He repented. He turned it around. He turned from a life not right in God's eyes, thin on integrity and moral goodness. He turned to acting in the likeness of God, thick with justice, thick with mercy, thick with generosity, and Jesus approved. Jesus announced the coming of salvation to Zacchaeus and his whole household. Luke helps us to encounter a key human act on the road of salvation. In Jesus' eyes, along with faith, a deeply sincere act of repentance, willingly undertaken, outwardly demonstrated, is at the heart of finding oneself right with God. Genuine repentance meets with the approval of God, the favor of God. And so this morning, let us take a look at repentance. And let us dare to embrace repentance. According to Luke, repentance is what Jesus hoped to see in the lives of people once they listened to him, once they listened to his preaching and teaching. Jesus began his ministry with this core message: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. That was his core message from beginning to end. And Zacchaeus shows someone finally got it. Someone really listened. Someone embraced the message. Ramping up to Zacchaeus, Luke leads us in his gospel narrative on a path of repentance. So here's a sampling. It's kind of long, actually. Beginning with Levi the tax collector in chapter 5, Jesus calls Levi to follow him. Levi follows and throws a party for Jesus, and it was shocking. Jesus was seen eating with sinners, despite the criticism from so-called righteous people. And Jesus announces, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The radical nature of repentance, chapter 9. Jesus proclaims, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. A turning from being lost in absorption with self to being found denying self, the approved way of following Jesus, the way leading to salvation. Parable of the lost sheep, chapter 15. A sheep lost was searched for relentlessly and found. Jesus concluded, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not repent. Parable of a lost son, chapter 15 again. The son who stupidly and selfishly walked out of his father's life, the son became lost in a disastrous mistake, wasting everything he had received from his father, the inheritance ahead of time. Who would have thought of something like that? The son ends up lost in a life and death personal crisis. The son comes to himself. He strategizes what? Repentance. He says, I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Do you see what's happening here? The son turns from self-defeat and turns to his father. The approval of Jesus is overwhelming. Jesus has the father unconditionally welcoming the son back, saying, this son of mine was dead, literally lost from me. This son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Are you getting it? I'm not done. Luke goes on. The tax collector and the Pharisee at prayer in the temple, chapter 18. It was the self-acknowledged sinner tax collector who turned away from the unrightness of his life when praying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. He turned to God in repentance, he demonstrated a humble and contrite heart and spirit before God, and that one received the approval of Jesus. The rich young ruler, chapter 18, he was lost in power and wealth and legalism of decently and in order religion. For heaven's sake, he may have even belonged to powerful, wealthy, and decently and in order First Presbyterian Church of Jerusalem. And all of this in his life was the substance of his life. And he had this cocky belief that he was righteous, that he had it made with God. And so he just kind of boldly comes up and asks Rabbi Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus challenged him, sell all you have, give to the poor, then come follow me. The man refused. He remained lost. And how that must have disappointed Jesus, how that must have grieved Jesus. And then finally, Luke brings us to this story of Zacchaeus in chapter 19. Finally, someone understood how crucial repentance is. Someone got it. So let's take a look at Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a wealthy man. He was an unusually strong person. He coped with most people in Jericho who hated him. And he worked as a self-employed tax collector for the Roman government. And there were two things that Jewish people hated. And those things were the Roman government and its tax collecting and anybody who was associated with the collection of taxes. And so they openly condemned Zacchaeus as a sinner and as a traitor. Now, it's really important to know and remember that Zacchaeus was a Jew. He was a son of Abraham. Ethnically, he was a part of God's chosen people. I would guess he may have occasionally attended synagogue, and yet wherever he went, he was a rejected man, and probably his whole family as well. Zacchaeus knew he was cheating on his fellow Jews. He was not measuring up to God's commands for justice and mercy. He was not right with God. He was not right with life as God intended. He was not living the life of salvation. And Jesus knew him to be a hurting, a rejected and lost member of God's people. Zacchaeus was like a lost sheep, alone in a dangerous world, living without a shepherd's watch care. And Zacchaeus welcomed Jesus into his home. Zacchaeus found it safe to be around this man, Jesus. He became overwhelmed with Jesus' grace and acceptance, and he found himself succumbing to the power of who Jesus was, Jesus' presence in the lives of people, Jesus' leadership. And it felt good and right and empowering to be with Jesus. And Zacchaeus began to think some risky thoughts, thoughts he did not check out with Mrs. Zacchaeus. And those risky thoughts could not be held back. He blurted out, "Look, Lord, Here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. After Mrs. Zacchaeus dropped the hors d'oeuvres tray, you could have heard a pin drop. In changing the direction of his life, Zacchaeus went beyond what had been required. He was generous to the extreme and at great personal expense. He took on the likeness of God, and with great pleasure, I'm sure, Jesus said, "Today, salvation has come to this house." Jesus finds repentance hugely significant. Jesus regards repentance as necessary. C.S. Lewis was sought in his lostness and was found in salvation. J.I. Packer and Jerry Root, writing in Christian History and Biography magazine, describe Lewis's intellectual path to faith, which involved repentance. In the mid-1920s, through the impact of friends and of G.K. Chesterton's book, The Everlasting Man, C.S. Lewis began to feel that the living personal God of theism, so different from idealism's fuzzy, abstract, non-demanding absolute spirit, but the God of theism was tracking him down. He became morally serious. "For the first time, I examined myself and found what appalled me: a zoo of lusts, a bedlam of ambitions, a nursery of fears, a harem of fondling hatreds. My name was Legion." He felt haunted and hunted by the searching God. "Finally, in 1929, I gave in and admitted that God was God and knelt and prayed." 2 years later, as Lewis tells it in his book, Surprised by Joy, "I was driven to Whipsnade one sunny morning. When we set out, I did not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And when we reached our destination, the zoo, I did. I was like when a man, after a long sleep, still lying motionless in bed, becomes aware that he is now awake." C.S. Lewis, lost, yet sought by God, repented and surrendered to Jesus Christ. He found himself in salvation. He went on to become a powerful voice for Christianity and an intellectual force for good in bringing many to Christ. Ah, the power of repentance and the wonderful outcome of repentance. Being right with God comes right down to turning away from self and turning to the person and work of Jesus Christ, the one whom God sent, dying to himself on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. The only one who can declare to you and to me, salvation has come to this house, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Genuine repentance is the key human act on the road to salvation, salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Repentance, in fact, is at the core of continuing in the saved life. In his book, The God Who Comes, Roman Catholic monk and priest Carlo Coretto writes, quote, "Here in Beni Abs, a Middle Eastern desert place for religious retreat, during the winter, nomads often arrive with their tents. They are the poorest of people. They no longer have any camels or goats to sell, no longer the strength to organize caravans. They are seeking some place they can be helped to settle down. One day, a French woman who was making a retreat here was walking beside one of these tents. She stopped to pass the time of day, and as she did so, realized that a little nomad girl, thin as a rake, was trembling with cold. It is strange, but that is how it is in the desert. It is cold in the sunless dawns. Why don't you cover yourself up?" she asked the nomad child. "Because I've nothing to cover myself with," replied the girl. The French woman, without going to the roots of the problem, went on to pray. She entered the hermitage built by Pierre de Foucauld himself, where the Blessed Sacrament is exposed. She prostrated herself in the sand before Jesus, present under the sign of faith, the Eucharist. And some time passed, she sought contact with God, the Eternal One. She tried to pray. "I couldn't go on," she told me afterwards. "I couldn't pray. I had to go out back to the tent and give that child one of my sweaters. Then I returned and I was able to pray." Unquote. Genuine repentance meets with the approval of God, a key step taken on the way to salvation. May you and I embrace repentance, and often. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, stir in our hearts and our minds and our very souls a desire, a hunger to look inward. Give us the courage to see what is there that needs to be turned away from, to let go of, and empower an honesty to turn away, to let go, and to turn to you and surrender to you, to repent. We are deeply grateful, Lord Jesus, that you died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, that frees us from our guilt, that frees us from the power of sin to turn to you for life, for salvation. Help us, Lord Jesus, to make that turn and to walk with you into a future that is God's yes, into life eternal. Come, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and all your days. Amen.